Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I just thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life on a weekly basis, that you are faithful to the broadcast, but most of all, faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Mission from the Heart Radio. I pray and hope that your day has been full of blessings from the Lord. Today you are in for a treat again, as we are on part four of the family affair with Gerald and Gwen Jones. Today we are going to be looking at another beautiful area in the marriage relationship. So get your Bibles ready and just come ready, willing, and able, and hungry as Brother Jones and Sister Jones walk us through the beautiful pages of God's Word concerning the power of marriage.
Again, we want to start out by just being confident that the Lord is going to use us in this broadcast today. Father in heaven, we pray that you would take the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, that it would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Bring to remembrance every word that you have said to us, and that we might allow your Holy Spirit to speak through us to this congregation of people and those that have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
So tonight we are talking about God's power for marriage, or God's power in marriage. And to have that kind of a power, you must have God. God's power is experienced by knowing God and by growing in our relationship with Him. For those who are seeking it, that's God's power. God provides the power, the authority necessary to fulfill His purpose and to carry out His plan for oneness.
We experience this power by knowing God and allowing His Spirit to control our lives by faith. Knowing God personally, God loves you and created you for a relationship with Him.
We know that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." God wants you to know Him, and He wants you to know Him personally. And this is eternal life, that we may know Him, and that we may know Him in the power of His might.
I can't have a relationship with God without knowing Him. And the way to experience the power of God is to experience the power of and to experience it in my marriage. First of all, I must listen to God and study His Word. When I talk about studying His Word, we talk about, first of all, reading it. And anyone or anything that you're trying to have a relationship with, it's going to require you to spend time with that person. Even if you're having a relationship with a family pet or your pet, you got to spend time with that pet. So it's the same with God. If we're going to have a relationship with Him, then we have to spend time with Him. And the first way to spend time with him is by reading his word. Not just sometimes, but on a regular basis. If I only pick it up once a month or every other month, then I'm not going to have the relationship with God that I need to have. And then I have to hear it talk to me. And there, you don't have to go to church to hear the word talk to you, but the Bible says that you cannot hear without the preacher. So I would suggest that you find a family, a church family, where you have a pastor that is teaching the word of God. And then I must meditate on it. That requires me to take some time out of my day and set aside time where I have an intimate time with God. Now, I know you can do it any time of day, but I'm a firm believer that you always have time to do what you do first. So early in the morning for me is a good time to wake up a little bit early so that I have time to spend with God before I start my day. And then once you're reading God's word, you've been taught God's word and you're meditating on it, then to memorize it. There's nothing better and no better defense or weapon against Satan and his wiles than the word of God. Even Jesus used the word when Satan tempted him. It's kind of impossible to use something that you don't know. So when you memorize God's word, when we're presented with a test, then it's just like whatever you've already programmed into the computer, it automatically will come up. And so when I'm presented with a test or with a temptation, then God's word comes up to help me in the, at that time. So it's very necessary to memorize his word.
So, you know, the acronym we want you to remember tonight, or the word that we want you to remember, is power. And the word power is found throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. However, I want to focus on a few verses to begin with. Let's just think about John chapter number 1, verse number 12. It says, "But as many as receive him," talking about Jesus, "to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The word power is in the Greek comes dunamis, which is authority, which is the word we get the word dynamite. And basically, God has given us some power. He has given us some dynamite to blow away some things that would hinder us from being all that God wants us to be. And we're talking about individually before we can even talk about as a couple or as a husband and a wife. There must be an individual relationship with God so that there can be a collective relationship with God. And my wife just shared with you the value of the word of God. I love one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of God," the word of truth. So the word of God gives us the power that we need, or the authority to live the kind of life, to have a relationship with an eternal, everlasting, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. Isn't it wonderful that we can have that kind of relationship with God even before we meet somebody?
Now, at first we talked about experiencing the power of God, and marriage will require us to study his word. And the next thing I want to tell you, then, we have to talk to God. Talk to him in prayer. Does this mean that I have to say, "Oh, most holy Father and everlasting God"? No, but we can talk to God. Prayer is just a conversation with God. And you can talk to him in whatever way you feel comfortable because he already knows our heart. So when we go to him, it's just like a parent with a child. You understand when your child communicates with you what they're talking about. We've all had the experience of being around a family with young children, and you may not be able to understand a word that that child is saying. But the father and the mother know exactly what that child is saying. So it's very much that way with God. When we talk to him, we may not speak to him like anyone else that we know, but he knows our voice, and he knows the intent of our heart. So you can feel comfortable and talk to him the way that you want to talk to him.
This relationship is ongoing, and it is a definite, but I like this word, it is developing. It is continuously growing. We are growing in our relationship with God, and the more I grow in my relationship with God, and the more Gwen grows in relationship with God, the more we grow together. And really, that's the whole motivation, is that I would be a person that would allow God to motivate my wife to get closer to God, so that in essence, she get close, I get closer to her, and she get closer to me. Developing a relationship with God is important. Developing a relationship with my wife is important, but also with others. And let's just take, for example, the people in your house, in your home, and then the people in your church, and then the people on your job, at school, wherever you find yourself, you can develop a relationship with others. But I want to make sure you understand that this relationship is with God is a developed between you and God, so that you can develop a good relationship with other believers. You and I need other believers. You need somebody that can encourage you, can enlighten you, can exalt you. You know, that word is a word that they can speak to you, even though it might hurt. They're going to tell you what you really need to know that is of the truth. They speak the truth to you in love, that you may what? Grow up. And we all have room to grow up. There's no grown people in God. We are always maturing.
I want you to understand that as husband and wife, even though you both may be believers, that you may be maturing at different levels. And that's perfectly okay. Nobody develops at the same pace. And everybody is different. And the way that we grasp things are different. So if your spouse is developing more in their prayer life, and you may be developing more in your Bible reading, that God designed that so that you all can help one another. Please take the time to pray together. Please take the time to read God's word together. And you're going to see how effective that can be as we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in our marriage.
And I want to say something while we're on that. Competition. We're not competing against one another. I'm not trying to be a better Christian than my wife, and I'm not trying to beat her being a better Christian. We're wanting to be on the same page. I think we talked about this once before, about complementing one another rather than being compatible.
Yeah. And competitive.
And competitive. And controlling. And we want the Holy Ghost to control.
Mm-hmm.
We want him to be in full control. And can I say, in that acronym, P-O-W-E-R, it means?
The P is for prayer. And that's where we started out, that you will need to have prayer in your life in order to experience the power of God in your life. The O stands for others, and I included worship because I said that it encompasses other believers. Please surround yourself with people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to hold your marriage together and to direct your life. I can't say enough about that. The thing that has helped us the most in our marriage, one of the things, were older couples that were godly, and we saw their witness before the world with their marriage and their family life, and it helped us to want to model our life and our marriage after them.
Sometimes I used to feel kind of bad because it seemed like some of my contemporaries weren't able to really be in the same mind or have the same mindset as I did or my wife and I had. And sometimes we would end up separating from people that basically were not as, I would say, as spiritual as the older people were. And we found ourselves with a lot of older couples that they might have not knew it at that time, but they were actually mentoring us. And they were encouraging us to stay together. Even before we got married, I remember a couple of couples that did that. But it is very important that you include others, and they come a lot of times around the church.
Amen.
We can't really overemphasize the importance of a Bible-believing church home. That you need to have a place where you can say, I have a pastor, I have a church home, I have a fellowship, a group of believers, and those are people are part of your life. And then you'll learn to, the next letter in power is worship and work, and be a witness. You know, so then you can get to the place where you start to enjoy God and enjoy each other.
So when we talk about the W standing for work, sometimes people see a good marriage and they think that it is just a perfect marriage, but that you're looking at a marriage that actually a lot of work has gone into. So I'm going to tell you that in marriage, roll up your sleeves and get ready to put some elbow grease in and work on the relationship. And you can, you will see that the work will become easy because it will be things that you enjoy, which brings us to our E, is enjoy each other. When we talk about enjoying one another, I want you to think about three things. I want you to think about enjoying each other, first of all, face-to-face. And when I say face-to-face, in this modern day of technology, we have so many couples that communicate through texting, through email, through Skype, through all kinds of other apps. But for that sit-down face-to-face quality time, sometimes we're missing it. Even we go to dinner, and if you go out to eat, you look around the table, you see the parents, the children. Everybody has cell phones out, they have tablets out, iPads, all kinds of things, and no one is communicating with each other. When many years ago, that's where the whole family was built, was around the dinner table when we sat down and we spent time face-to-face and talking to one another about the events of our day and the things that were going on in our life and the things that affected us. We cannot have a relationship with one another if we're not having this face-to-face time. So this, I know our lives are busy, and sometimes it might be sad to say that we have to pencil in on our schedule to spend time with my mate this week face to face. And that's when that date night comes in to be so important. The next thing is to enjoy each other. I want you to think about coming side by side. Side by side means that we will spend time enjoying each other, doing something that the other one loves to do. You know, I'm not that crazy about camping, but my husband loves it. So I've learned to come alongside him and go camping with him as well because it's something that he enjoys. So when you know what it is that your spouse enjoys doing, don't shy away from it. In fact, embrace what they're doing and become a part of their world as well. And that will keep you enjoying each other.
I'm not that crazy about malls.
Yeah.
I really am not. But I'll go to the mall, and sometimes I'll walk all through and everything and follow through the different aisles. But really, I've come to find that every mall has a husband chair. And I try to find that chair that I can just sit and let her just have fun going through whatever, but we are together.
Yes, and that's the most important thing, spending that time together. So side by side, first of all, face to face, then side by side, and the last one is belly button to belly button. Mm. That's that intimate time that you have, that is physical time together. Every marriage requires that we have that intimate time with our spouse. So enjoy each other face to face. Enjoy each other side by side, and enjoy each other belly button to belly button. The R stands for rely on God. There is no amount of education. There is no amount of physical, physical strength. There is no amount of thinking that I know how to do this marriage thing that will get it done better than relying on God, because I know that God is the one that's able to hold us together and to make us victorious in this marriage life.
We cannot always figure it all out. We just can't. So the best thing to do is go back to our trust in God. And I want to give you a memory verse that some of you have already quoted and heard somebody quote, but I want you to read it again. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your way acknowledge him, and he will direct your path."
Amen.
That is a scripture that should be so impressed in our hearts and our minds. It's of great value to us as we move forward with enjoying each other and then relying on God, because we cannot do this without God.
So to accomplish all of these things that the acronym says, we want to help you to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how we can experience his power in our life. First of all, we're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is.
He is God. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ is God, that God the Father is God, and that God the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. And as soon as you can get that in your heart and mind, that he is the third person in the Trinity and co-equal with God, the Father and the Son, the better it will be for you to understand. I used this illustration, my wife used it the other day, talking about how with an egg.
Yes, the egg is just one egg, but it has three layers. The outer layer, let's say that's God the Father. And then it has the egg white on the inside. And let's say that is God the Son, Jesus. And then the yolk, the yellow. we'll say that that is God, the Holy Spirit. It's all three layers, but it's still just one egg.
I love telling children about it by using the illustration of the triune of God. And you really can't explain it, but it's a fact that God is three persons in one. And I use the illustration, I often say, when you have water, it is in the form of either a liquid, it can be in form of a solid by being ice, or it can be in the form of steam,
okay,
or by being a vapor. And all three stages, whether it's a vapor, whether it's a liquid, or whether it's ice, it's still water. God is one and in unity. And we want to let you know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you all accepted him as the Lord of your life and the Lord of your marriage, then he becomes our helper. He is our comforter. He is our paraclete. He's alongside of us. He's in us. He is keeping us alive. You know, I could preach about this. This is kind of preaching material. The study of the Holy Spirit.
And God the Spirit, he is the Christian source of power to live a consistent lifestyle of love and obedience. We often say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and that is so true. So he is our source of power. We don't have the power, but the Holy Spirit in us is the power of God, again, to help us live a consistent lifestyle, a lifestyle of love and a lifestyle of obedience. In our human nature, it is not possible for us to live this type of life that is pleasing to God. But once the Holy Spirit embodies us, then he equips us to be able to live the life that God wants us to live.
Gwen, I want to say something right in here. You know, when you go back even to Genesis, you see the power of God moving and in creation, when there was darkness, he brought light. When there was no water, when the water was scattered, he brought it together. When there was no plants, he brought plants. And you see the authority and the power of God moving by what he said. But then when we see Jesus Christ on planet Earth, we see God in the flesh. And he came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the what? A power to become the sons and children of God. And then when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit was promised that he would come to indwell us and live within us forever. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the who?"
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That promise has been, is being constantly fulfilled.
Yes.
He is at work right now. Even as we speaking over this radio, he is at work.
Yes.
Encouraging somebody that he has the power to help us to overcome whatever obstacles or whatever hindrance or whatever the devil would throw at you individually and as us as a couple.
Yes. Now, we've talked about who the Holy Spirit is, and now we want to talk about what does in our lives. He teaches us how to live by guiding us to truth. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things, and he will bring to you, to your remembrance, all that I have said. That's St. John 14 and 26. He's our teacher. And, you know, sometimes in marriage, we really feel like that we got married too young, or we are too late, or we are in a relationship with someone that we don't understand. And even when we feel like that it's really, really good and that it was a good choice to get married and we're in love with the person that we married, then it still can be challenging. So this is where the Holy Spirit comes in to be our teacher. He will teach us how to have the relationship that we often have with one another. And sometimes, you know, there's a learning curve in the beginning. That first 1 to 5 years sometimes, and sometimes even longer for others, can be such a challenging time. But if you will rely on the Holy Spirit, I know that he is able to help you. The Bible says in this verse that I'm just saying, but the helper, Jesus, when he left, he said that he would send us a helper that would teach us all things, that bring all things to our remembrance. So our reliance has to be on him. It can't be on my own ingenuity, and it can't be on our own wisdom and our own knowledge, but on relying on God, who is able to teach us.
I want to give you a scripture in the book of Ephesians that has really helped us and helping people even today. And I know some may have heard this scripture before, but I want to quote it once again. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. According to the power that worketh in us.
Yes, hallelujah.
The word says now. That means right now. Right now when I feel him working on us.
Yes, thank you.
And not just us. I believe he's available for everybody. No one person can control or have all of the Holy Ghost.
He's
available for everybody. And Paul says, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is just amazing. And he says in Philippians, can I go? I'm sorry, but I'm a preacher. I got to say these things. He says in Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. You got to know him.
Amen. Amen. And so when we talk about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, first we said that he's our teacher, but then he also
is our convictor. He convicts us of our sin, of our errors, of our wrongdoing, can I say of our mistakes? Somebody don't want to say sin. They don't want to say mistake. They don't want to say error. But you will say your issues. He convicts us of our issues and personal things that are going on in our life.
St. John 16 and 8 says, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Not only does he convict us, he converts and changes us to be like Christ.
Jesus was saying that in the book of John, but he knew that we would be in this day and we would still need the Holy Spirit to do the convincing, the converting, and the changing of our lives. And change is needed.
And, you know, it doesn't matter where your marriage is right now. You may be on the verge of divorce, but I am challenging you to allow God to do the converting. Allow God to do the changing. Allow God to do the convicting. Allow God to do the teaching. And I'll guarantee you, you will find out if you allow God to have his way in your life and in your marriage, that he will make all of the necessary adjustments for your marriage to be just what he wants it to be. We have to surrender to the power of the Holy Ghost and allow him to take control of our marriage situation. There may have been things that have gone on in the past that were ungodly, but each and every one of us has the opportunity right now to ask God for his forgiveness for those things that we have allowed to take place in our marriage that were not pleasing to him. Once we acknowledge our sin, the Bible says that he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive us of every sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I know that his blood is sufficient to cover every area of my life, everything that I've ever done. So there's nothing wrong with me asking him to forgive me for any sin that I committed in the marriage, because the sin was not only committed in, if it was committed in the marriage, was also committed against my spouse, but most of all, it was committed against Jesus Christ.
Against God. And when you think about David in the Old Testament, and when he got to Psalm 51, he said, wash me with hyssop and clean me. Let me see if I can just find it. But Psalms 51 is where David admits that he have committed this sin against God. I'm going to turn there. Psalm 51. Got my Bible going here.
While Pastor is finding that, I want to talk about he also helps us to forgive each other. In marriage, in relationships, in our life, we have to get to the point where we are forgiven. And that's found in Ephesians 4:30-32. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And this is one of my favorite verses. And be ye kind to one another. Tenderhearted,
yeah.
Forgiving each other, yeah. Just as God and Christ also has forgiven you. It helps us to forgive each other. Sometimes we keep a tally of the things that are wrong, done wrong to us. But the Bible in Corinthians says that love does not keep a score of the things that have been done wrong. It helps us to forgive our mates. Be tenderhearted to each other. Be kind to one another. Forgiving each other. And we all remember that we sat in the seat of needing forgiveness. We sat in the seat of being the sinner. And we sat in the seat of being the transgressor.
Wrong.
And we sat in the seat of being wrong. And Jesus, God, for Jesus' sake, forgave us.
Yeah.
Then we got to find room in our heart to forgive our spouse. And that only comes because of the power of the Holy Ghost that helps us to be forgivers.
The scripture I was looking for was Psalms 51. Have mercy on me, O God. This is David. He says, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercy, the multitude of thy tender mercy. Then he begs, he says, blot out my transgression. Not just my wife. Don't blot out my wife. Blot out my transgression.
Amen.
Wash me
yes.
thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee. Now he turns and says, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Somewhere we have to come to saying, you know, it's not my mama. It's not my dad. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not Uncle Bobo. And ain't sis. It's thee, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And man, that psalm just, you know, it, just reading it, I like when it gets to the part where it says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. That's like Clorox. That's like washing powder. Clean me. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. Now, verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy, and uphold me with thy right, thy free spirit.
The Holy Spirit helps us to love each other unconditionally. Just as Jesus loves us unconditionally. You know, you have to be at the place with yourself where you say that, you know, I'm going to love you no matter what. That's actually what we promised at the altar on the day that we got married. We said for better.
For worse. Sickness
and health. Richer or poor. We said forsaking all others.
Until.
Keeping myself only unto thee. And so the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can help us to have.
Yeah.
The only person that can help us to have unconditional love in that manner. Now, we've talked a lot about what he does in our life, but we're going to also talk about what does it mean to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Bible describes this control as being filled with the Spirit. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, which is Ephesians 5 and 18. It does not mean that we get more of God. It means that he gets more of you.
And filled, the Greek word means to be under God's control.
Yes.
If we get filled with the Spirit, don't get confused between F-I-L-L and F-E-E-L.
Feeling.
Yeah, you don't want to get it confused. Now, you're going to get some feeling when God is filling.
Amen.
But the filling is needed more than the feeling.
Yes.
Don't get caught up in trying to feel it all the time when the word says that if you are not drunk with wine, but be what? Filled under God's control. So how do you get filled? That is a question many will ask. Easy, by faith. Just like you have faith to be saved, you have faith to be filled, and by asking. Just like you ask God to save you, you got to ask God to what? Fill you with his spirit.
And that's going to be the next thing we're going to talk about. This being filled means allowing the Holy Spirit unhindered control in my life. That means that that's all barred off. That's when I throw my hands up and surrender to him. Unhindered control in my life. That's when I tell him, God, you have your way. You can't tell me that if the husband is saying, Lord, have your way in my life, and the wife is saying, Lord, have your way in my life, that there's not going to be a better marriage just because we've allowed God to have his way in our life. Without him having his way, then I'm in myself doing my own thing. But why don't you just let go and let God? Why don't you take your hands off of the situation today? Why don't you say, God, I've done everything I know how to do, and I'm willing to let you just do what you know to do best. He can take better care of us than anybody that I know. So this is the time for you to say, I'm going to let go and I'm going to let God.
I've never seen a miracle in a marriage relationship, even my own. I've never seen it happen without one or both of us coming to the place of bankrupt and saying, I can't do it no more. I'm at the end of the rope. And you know what? Isn't it a shame that we have to let bankruptcy, financial bankruptcy, we have to let other stuff happen before we really come to God? Why don't we do proactive things rather than reactive things?
Amen,
Pastor. We always seem to have to get down to nothing before we can see God is really up to something. Maybe that's just the way our makeup is. But whatever it takes, if we get to the bottom, my grandfather used to tell us that when you get to the very bottom, there's nowhere else to go but up. So while you are at the bottom, thank God and look up. Thank God that he can take you to the bottom and bring you out and bring you up.
When we allow the Holy Spirit to work, take full control, and he's unhindered in our life, then we can see the fruit of the Spirit begin to be evident. And that's in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Wouldn't you love to see some love, some joy, some peace in your marriage? Don't you want to see some patience and some kindness and some goodness in your marriage? Don't you want to see some faithfulness, some gentleness, some self-control in your marriage?
And those fruits of the Spirit, are what makes life worth living. When we have the joy, when we have the peace, when we have the patience, the long-suffering, all of that, it's what gives life meaning.
When we're operating without the Holy Spirit, we'll see that we will seek to control our mate and not adjust to our mate. But when the Holy Spirit is in control, we'll seek the best for our spouse, and we won't have that controlling spirit. In the flesh, we will be reluctant to lead and honor and help or submit to our spouse. And the husband's role is to lead, and then the wife's role it is to honor. And the husband's role is to help, and the wife's role is to submit. God will clarify our priorities, and he will give us discernment between our needs and our impulsive wants. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So you're asking now, then how can I be filled and controlled and empowered with the Holy Spirit? The first thing, you must desire to be filled.
And I said it a while ago, you get to the end of yourself and confess. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to face the fact that we are sinners. We are saved by the grace of God. So we are saved sinners, but we are still have a nature to do wrong rather than do right. And don't think that just because you're saved that you're not going to have evil thoughts, evil desires, wayward words, sometimes wanting to go left when God has clearly showed you to go right. But you have to come, I have to come, we have to come to a place of saying, I surrender. I throw my hands up. I am under, I'm arrested. I'm under God's arrest. And when we do that, we can know that God will lead us out of our prayer closet to the place where we will go back to reading His Word, praying together, spending time together, desiring Him more, confessing our sins quicker, and surrendering to Him.
If we confess our sins, He certainly is faithful, and He is righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 and 9. Then I have to surrender those areas of my life that I've kept from Him.
Mm.
Man, sometimes we have things that we just are not willing to give up yet. We're not willing to let go. We still want to hold on to. But I'm challenging you, surrender every area. And then pray regularly for God's power to be in your life.
Can I tell you what power will do? It'll take that joy, which is love strength. It'll give you peace, which is love security. It'll give you long suffering, which is love's patience. It will give you gentleness, which is love's conduct. It will give you goodness, which is love's character. It will give you faith, which is love's confidence. It will give you meekness, which is love's humility. It will give you temperance, which is control, which is love's victory. And I don't know about you, but we want to have victory because of the power of God. I got a good friend of mine, he loves singing this song, "Victory is mine, victory is mine, victory." And I just think he means power, power, Lord. We got power in the Word of God.
How can I experience the Holy Spirit's power day by day in my marriage? Here's 4 ways you can experience the Holy Spirit's power every day in your marriage. The first one is enjoy time together reading God's Word. Make sure that you carve out time in your day to read God's Word together. And then practice praying together. There is just something about when Gerald and I pray together. And we enjoy these times of praying together. When we pray together, then we tend to see an answer to the prayer much quicker. And then
spend time in fellowship together, as we said earlier, with other believers. And when we spend that time with other believers, the scripture says, iron sharpens iron. And that's what happens. You need to have some friends that when you are dull, when something is going wrong, that you can just be transparent enough to admit to them, we need help. And listen, that help don't come from no earthly wisdom. It doesn't come from humanistic counseling. It doesn't come from some book, some psychological book. It comes from the Word of God, come from prayer, and you just have to get on your knees with them and just talk to God on their behalf, intercede.
And just this morning, I heard Beth Moore saying that if iron is sharpening iron, you need to have friends that are close enough to you that when that iron gets, when it's sharp, that you're bound to get stuck by it sometimes. You have to allow somebody to be close enough to you that can tell you the error of your ways in your marriage, in your life, in your family, and they are able to help us and guide us in the way that God would want us to go.
When sin occurs, confess it and forsake it and turn from it and turn to God.
Amen. And Pastor, if you'll read that verse again, it says unto him that's able.
Yes, it's in Philippians and the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformable unto his death. You got to know it. Unto him. Now unto him that is able. Oh, that's in Ephesians. I'm sorry. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, that worketh in us. It's a continuous faith walk, a faith life of trusting and depending on God. And don't be afraid. If you got to talk to somebody about what you're going through in your life, if there's a situation going on, I always say, don't talk to anybody that will not pray for you.
And pray with you. Amen.
And pray with you right now. Right now, there's somebody that has been struggling, going through something, and you need prayer. And God wants you to pray. We are always to pray and not to fight. Sister Smith, do you agree?
Amen. Amen. Yes, I do. And this is a good time for us to just stop, drop, and pray right now. And Sister Gwen, if you could just usher up prayers for those marriages that may be on the verge of a divorce or maybe in a situation where reconciliation needs to take place, and we will just join hands with you in prayer. And the brothers and sisters who are listening to the broadcast today, if you could partner with us in prayer for someone's marriage, for someone to be reconciled to Jesus Christ, for someone to come to know him in the pardoning of their sin, that we would extend Jesus to them as well as their marriage. And even for the unsaved spouse, that the other would be praying and interceding for her mate or his mate. So if you could, Sister Gwen, pray for those that may be listening and those who are listening, lift up somebody in your circle of influence, that they would be lifted up in prayer as we all pray collectively together.
Father God, we do thank you for this day. And we thank you for every believer that's listening tonight. God, we pray more so for even the unbelievers that may be listening. God, we know that you are the giver of life, and we thank you for giving marriage. We pray for every marriage that is struggling right now. God, you see our hurts, and you see our fears, and you see all of our concerns today. God, we pray that you would just move everything that is not like you. Anything that is between the husband and the wife, God, we pray that you would reconcile them, that they would be one. God, we pray right now for those that are married, and they may be a believer, and they're married to an unbeliever. God, you know how to draw the unbeliever closer to you. God, your word says that the unbelieving husband is saved by the chaste conversation of the wife. So, God, we pray that we would live a life pleasing to you and that we would be a witness to those around us that are not saved. God, every unbeliever that's listening tonight, we pray that your Holy Spirit would do what you do. Lord, convict them, convince them, comfort them, save them, God, and turn them around before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we pray that you would cover us in your blood, that you would cover our marriages, that you would strengthen us where we're weak,
yes,
and that you would keep us looking to the cross, yes, for the power of the Holy Ghost,
yes,
to work in our marriage.
Yes.
It is in Jesus' name I pray.
Name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just pray and hope, brothers and sisters, that you just so allowed your heart to cry out to God along with us, with Brother Jones and Sister Jones, as we intercede for marriages today and relationships. And this is what typifies Jesus Christ and the church, is the power of marriage, a spirit-filled marriage that typifies Jesus Christ as being the head of the church. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Jones, if you could share with the listeners today a contact phone number that they may be able to give you and Sister Jones a call in the event that they need good Christian counseling, for them to be able to contact you or share a website or an email that they may be able to share with you prayer or concerns, and you can get back with them. So if you could do that for the listeners.
I do have a page, but I would prefer you calling. I'm not too far away, just a phone call away. 281-224-7535. I do take texts at that same number, and you can call at any given time, 281-224-7535. It's a good number for texting and talk.
Praise the Lord. So again, this is Brother Gerald and Gwen Jones, and they have brought us another beautiful teaching track of The Family Affair, and you can reach them 281-224-7535 at your private time or in a moment that you just need to be lifted up and counseled wisely, biblically. So they are definitely available for you. Or share their number and their ministry with someone else that you know may be going through some things that needs to be drawn in to the Savior, Jesus Christ. They will definitely minister to that broken individual as well. So, again, we want to thank you for your faithfulness, and we pray that your week will continue to be in a blessedness of Jesus Christ. But always remember that you can meet us here again for another beautiful teaching track with Gerald and Gwen Jones with The Family Affair on next week. So never forget that the grass wither and the flowers, they do fade away, but the word of God remains forever. God bless you, and we will see you again on next week.